From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we got all those things to get off our chest on a Blues Day recap, talking sports, get some additional thoughts on the Yankees, Giants, and some college football, just world of sports. This is a day of remembrance, about, 16 years since the day of 9/11. And I don't think there's no other person, sports fan, in the bases to have that conversation with, and anybody else that wanted to chime in and listen in here on the Blues Day recap, September Sports. If Worm is out there, we'll bring him on. Worm, I hope you are done throwing up in your mouth after the game last night versus the Cowboys. But, sir, welcome back. How's everything, man?
Hey, how's everything? I'm
Man, good, man. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's 9/11. It's, you know.
Yeah.
I'm more focused on that than a Giants loss because to me that's, you know, that takes priority, you know, because – football's just a game, but, you know, people's lives are more important than a game that's there to entertain us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Saturday when I said the Giants needed to jam Jason Witten on a line of scrimmage and not let him get a free release into the flats?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What didn't the defensive ends do?
They didn't pinch on him. They didn't jam him.
Nope. I don't understand how they don't recognize that after all these years, you know, between, you know, Brent Celek with the Eagles, Witten with the frigging Cowboys. I mean, come on, it's common sense.
Yeah.
The defense, they really. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the defense more than anything else for that team because. At one point, they were on pace to be out there for 108 snaps. That's unbelievable. And they only gave up, really, 19 points. And they really played great defensive ball. The defensive line was on point. The linebackers, they played better than they were going to play. I thought they were going to struggle a little bit. Our secondary was right on point. Offensive line is the offensive line. We all knew what it was going to be. It shouldn't be a surprise. You know, Reese had 4 years to fix it. Still hasn't done it. I was talking to my brother when I was eating dinner before. And he made the same comment, and he's absolutely right. This offensive line hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. You know, it's bad. And, you know, a lot of people want to get on Eli for that interception late. You know, they want to, you know, get on him for, you know, overthrowing, you know, Ingram or Marshall here or there. But you know what? I think Eli's afraid of that offensive line. You know, it seems like he rushes the ball out a lot because he just doesn't trust them. And Eli's that type of leader that he's not going to call out his offensive line. He's just going to take the blame for the loss and move on. So if you notice, you know, past history with Eli and this team, he's taken the pay cut and restructured his contract to bring talent in here. He's, you know, went on and, you know, it's, you know, when they win, the team won. When they lose, it's Eli's fault. And, you know, he takes the, you know, he'll take care of, you know, the negative things. And when everything goes positive, then it's the team that did positive. Special teams, I was happy with. Rojas looked good. I liked it, you know, good form. Brad Wing. I thought the guy's leg was going to fall off, you know, by the time the fourth quarter was going to start. You know, he consistently had good, you know, good punts. He only had that one that was a little short. running the game, run game. I thought there were holes that were open. I don't think Perkins saw them. I was expecting more out of Perkins than what we got. I think Darkra ran the ball pretty well. I think he ran the ball better than Perkins did. We got to see Ellis a little bit. I'm disappointed in Brandon Marshall. You know, I mean,
he couldn't get separation.
He couldn't get separation. And, you know, everybody's saying, you know, Odell. But you know what? I don't think Odell makes or breaks that game because, you know, if you look at it, the amount of times that we had Odell, we've had, what, 7 or 8 straight games where we couldn't even score 20 points, and that's with having Odell on the field. I know that comment was brought up, you know, by the commentators last night at one point that, you know, if they'd had Odell. But, you know, I disagree. You know, they've had Odell out there, and they still haven't scored 20 points. We had Odell out there for the Green Bay game. We didn't win the game. I think it comes down to the play calling at some point. You know,
it sure does. It definitely does come down to the play call. That's something you've been harping on all season, actually.
And, you know, I mean, with the Giants play calling, it's so predictable. Even when they're running the ball, it's predictable. With their personnel grouping, you know, when they're in, you know, they would put, you know, Ellison in motion or whatever, you know, they're running the Ellison side. You know, you got to mix it up a little better. The play action pass look pretty good, but the run game is just, it's too predictable. It's like, you know, you go back to the mid to late 90s when our defense was strong. The offense was horrible. And it's almost like the Giants are back to the mid-90s form where it was, the defense was strong, lights out, and the offense just couldn't get the ball moving consistently.
Correct.
And you know,
we had those discussions on the post game after the game yesterday, and pretty much the consensus is the same, man. Across the board, it really starts with the offensive line on that. But how disappointed were you in dealing with fans or who are upset, the players after the game, just the lackluster effort.
To me, special teams, the effort, the heart was there. Defense, effort, the heart was there. Offensively, it's like they're just going through the motions. You know, I didn't see any fire at anybody. You know, I didn't see anybody on that offense that resembled any type of being a leader and saying, yo, come on, let's go. I didn't see it. You know, that's where I miss, like a Jeremy Shockey who had that passion and that fire. Yeah, he ran his mouth too much, but he had that, you know, that fire that, you know, come on, let's go. Smash mouth. I wasn't seeing any type of leadership offensively. You know, we all know Eli, yeah, he's our leader. He's that lead by example. He's a silent leader. But I think the Giants need that, you know, that mouth in the background. You know, almost like, you know, like what the Yankees had with Paul O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. Paul O'Neill was a great leader, man. Good baseball player.
Yeah.
Solid guy. Let me get back to the Giants. Let me ask you about that. How you feel about what the Yankees did 2 out of 3 versus the Rangers? After blowing it Friday, and then again the win Saturday and Sunday before the Cowboys game.
Touching on the Yankees, first thing I want to look at is Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
That man got so overused last year in the playoffs with the Cubs. I think the guy's broken. You know, well, I hate to use the term broken, but he's exhausted. Almost like, you know, when your pitcher gets a dead arm.
Yeah.
I kind of see that with Chapman. Betances, David Robertson, I trust 100% in a tight situation. I do. I know Betances likes to drive us nuts before he gets that final, you know, one out or two outs that you need to get. That's just how he is. If I was shocked that they took two out of three in Texas, only because I know how well Texas, you know, how their offense is. At this point in the season this year, if you were to tell me the Yankees were going to be 3.5 up in the first wild card spot and only, what, 3.5 back of Boston in a division, and they've touched first place, you know, a good portion of the first half of the season, I'd say you're absolutely nuts. I think the Yankees are still two starting pitchers away, one ace and one mid-tier pitcher. And I still think they need a bat that can complement Aaron Judge, almost like, you know, when we had Daryl Strawberry. It's like, you know, he'd come to the plate and everybody would look because they knew that home run was coming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, at the end of this year, we're going to have CeCe coming off the books in his big contract. I wouldn't even entertain re-signing him. He's to me, he's absolutely done.
He's given us. I mean, here's the thing. I agree with you on that point, but at the same time, he's given a lot of guts this year, more guts than I expected.
I absolutely 100% agree, but I can't.
Unexpected.
I can't justify. Oh, unexpected, but I can't justify bringing him back.
I'm not saying that at all. I agree with you on that. I was just saying that. I'm glad we got what we could get out of this year, but definitely move on. Absolutely.
And you know, I mean, CeCe's been a good Yankee. He's been a good guy for Yankees. As far as Tanaka, I think he should have gotten that surgery last year. I really honestly think he needed that surgery, and I think he should have gotten it. He didn't.
You never know what you're going to get with Tanaka, man.
Yeah.
This year, it was really, especially what happened with his record last year. He had no record for last year. And his location has been really, really spotty. Great in some games, it's been really suspect. It's like so Jekyll and Hyde.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing that I noticed with Tanaka, and I don't know if anybody really picked up on this, if he's pitching a night game, he's usually light set. He's usually lights out. Day games, he's horrible.
Wasn't the Jeter game a night game when he got bombed on by the Cardinals? I think they were playing St. Louis earlier this year. That may have been an exception, to your point.
That might have been an exception, but I've noticed that a good portion of the time he's been decent during night games, except for the Jeter game. I don't know what the hell is wrong with him that night. If Tanaka opts out of his contract, if I were the Yankees, I wouldn't sign him back. I really wouldn't. He's not the same. You know, I would like to see Chance Adams come up, you know, give the kid a shot. Brian Mitchell has really turned himself around coming out of the bullpen. Third base-wise, I don't think they bring back Todd Frazier. I don't see it.
It hasn't worked, though, has it?
No. He was batting, like, what, 220 when he came over? You know,
not even that. It may have been lower than that. It may have been lower than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's a good, you know, feel-good story, Tom's River kid. Hey, great, good job. But, dude, it's not like he's really nothing special anymore. I do like Headley at first base. It seems like his bat came around. I think he's a lot better there. But, you know, Greg Bird is our starting first baseman in the future. And we're going to have Gleyber Torres coming up, you know, hopefully next year after he gets his arm straight with the Tommy John surgery. So I mean, there's going to be a couple of there's going to be, you know, a couple options we can swing there. If Gleyber Torres isn't going to be ready, you could take a shot at Machado, who I think would be a nice complement to Aaron Judge. Because I think they really do. They need that power bat, you know, that other bat to mix in there with Judge and Sanchez and Bird.
Yeah.
More, you know, to where they, it's like, you know, pick your poison. You got to pitch to one of the three.
Let me say something real quick on that, because you're right about the top Frazier, because I think that was a lot to do when Greg Bird was out, and they needed to find something to another bat at the time, move Hayleo to first until he got back. And once Bird starts hitting again, it's all dependent on how injured he is.
Yeah.
And his health, his durability has been a huge question mark since coming on. But basically, you have pretty much your corners with Headley and Bird getting the hit. And like you said, when I was at the game on Saturday, I was with Hot Rod about that, talking about when you put him at lefty, he hits significantly better. It's just some guys just have it that way versus turning them around and batting right. But the bats wise, Sanchez. I mean, that's why Sanchez is there. His glove is suspect. Sanchez will let pass balls get by him, drop, and all that. But he's there for his bat. I think we have a nice little team heading in down the stretch. I know I wouldn't like to be in the wild card situation, but Severino had pitched phenomenally on Saturday. Phenomenally, he almost damn near got himself out of it.
Yeah, and you know the other one that I absolutely fell in love with this year, and I was waiting for them to get called up, is Torres. I'm happy he's on this roster. He's almost like a mix between a Chad Curtis and a Luis Soho, a versatile player that can get them timely hits when you need it. Not a home run hitter, but he'll get that base hit or he'll get that double that you need, and he's got the speed to swipe a bag or two. I absolutely love that kid. I think he's, you know, almost a cheaper version of Altuve with Houston.
Extremely cheaper.
I think that kid could have it.
Cheaper. Well, so how you look at the baseball squad as far as looking at the Red Sox? Do you think they're going to be able to catch them or just try to catch them and settle with the top speed and hope that in game? Anyway, how do you look at that?
I'm sorry?
How do you look at it with the Yankees with the wild card position they're in? Are you think they're going to catch Boston or you think they're just going to have to settle for that top spot?
If they can get hot, I think we can catch Boston. I really do. It's going to come down to, you know, can that Yankees offense get hot and stay hot? I think we have the pitching to catch Boston. But it's going to be, you know, that offense, their bats are, at times, they're anemic. As long as they can stay hot and hit like they're supposed to, I think we can catch Boston. As far as making a deep playoff run, I love my Yankees, but I just don't see it. We're not there yet. We're like maybe a year.
What is a deep playoff run? You're talking about ALCS? What do you mean playoff run?
To me would be minimum ALCS.
Minimum ALCS. So let's look at that. Hold on. Let's look at that. So who would be in the way? Wild card. Who's second wild card right now? Just feel like Minnesota or somebody like that. Who's in?
I would put Minnesota as the second wild card.
Okay. So that would be as of right now. That's where it would be 1-2 Yankees Minnesota in a one game, right? Now, who do you? I mean, it could be anybody could be starting. You would think you would give a nod to the Yankees pitching as a whole. Starters got to go to the bullpen. Our strength is probably a little bit better than what you think about that when it comes head-to-head pitching. If we were sitting right now.
Head-to-head, I would think the Yankees would edge out Minnesota if we had them in the playoffs, in that one-game playoff. I think our bullpen is better. I think we could out, you know, we can out-hit them if we had to get into those slug contests. I can tell you there's going to be two teams that probably going to give us a hard time if we were to make it that far. One would be Cleveland, one would be Houston. Both have amazing offenses. They really do. If I still think, you know, going past that to the World Series, I could see the Dodgers, they can get their stuff together. I know they've been struggling lately, but I still see the Dodgers as, you know, in the World Series. American League side, toss-up between Cleveland and Houston. I might edge Cleveland just a hair, only because I think their pitching's a little more consistent.
Let me get to the AL side on that. I think the Yankees could play with Cleveland. I think they could play with either or, but Houston is a really tough out. I think Houston did a lot of front running earlier this year, and they kind of fizzled out July, something like that. Cleveland's been hot, third and over that. They've been, I think they're still on the street. And the manager, Tito Francona, has got some guys playing. We just had that series with them. You can see what they can do with that. They can hit, man. They can definitely hit.
Yes.
But it's like the Yankees, with any, especially in the middle of the month, they have been chasing, like, trying to get bodies. They haven't really been, you know, shut the lineup in this weekend versus Texas. So you never know what can happen if the past is one playoff game. I don't fear Houston, but I do happen to respect them. I think they can be beat. I don't think they're all world time team. But if the Yankees go in there with the right pitching, and I think their pitching is definitely going to really be nasty in the postseason, you know, pitching really wins the game. It's a solid defense, timely hitting. They add in the fact that Yankees get their bodies back. They really haven't been fully, fully healthy in the full crew. Maybe they could turn around some things, but a lot of it has to do with guys like guy like Aaron Judge, whose batting average has dropped 55 points since the All-Star, since the home run derby.
Yeah. And you know, that's why. I mean, my brother's a big Yankee and Giants fan, like I am too. And we had this conversation before the All-Star break. And I'm like, I love Aaron Judge. I wanted to see him in home run derby. But that home run derby, you know, you're focused on hitting home runs. You can change your swing, and then you're going to screw it up. And it's going to take months before you get it back because, you know, you got to focus on, you know, you know, you got to focus on your technique instead of hitting home runs. And I've seen so many guys win that home run derby, and they screwed their swing up for the second half of the season.
Absolutely. We had those discussions right before the All-Star break. And I said that here on record, man. It's right here in the archives. I said that if he goes into that home run derby, him batting 330 and all these home runs, it wasn't even a home run contest, although they were very impressive. Almost moonshots off the hook.
Yeah.
But it's really the batting for average and the high OPS that really sold me, man. Like, this is crazy. His average opposite field gap hits, those type of hits that he had in his All-Star break, but made the Yankees were in first place at the time and really dangerous. Then the pitch kind of came together for a little bit. But you're right, man. If the batting average, if the guys if they can't hit, like they weren't hitting as well as they did, you don't really expect, and the averages kind of go out in 100-game season. But on the National League side, man, it really is like you said, man. Like the Nationals got like 20 games, it's crazy. Then the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And do you really think it's the Dodgers year? Do you think that?
I can see the Dodgers if the Dodgers can get their pitching right before the playoffs, I see the Dodgers in the World Series. I really do. I love Kershaw, and I love Yu Darvish. And their offense, when they're on, they can put up some runs. I think they would match up very well against the Nationals. And I believe, if I heard it right, I think the Nationals clinched the NL East yesterday. I'm almost sure they clinched yesterday. I could be wrong, but I think they clinched. But, you know, the Nationals, you know, they're another team that's very good offensively. You know, I don't see any other teams that I think is strong enough to match up against the, you know, the Nationals or the Dodgers. I think you're going to have a good 7-game series in the NLCS if they're playing each other.
Those teams are definitely familiar with each other in the postseason too. That would be a
definite
first year.
I think the NLCS will be a must-see TV with the two of them going at it in a 7-game series.
So that means they would have to probably get past like a Chicago if they're still around. How do you think about the Diamondbacks, man? That's a team that's kind of like that doesn't get as just due. They've hit well this year. They've played very well. If they could get through their wild card situation, how do you think they will do in the NL? You know?
No, they do. I mean, they can hit the ball very well in a hitter's ballpark. But the thing that worries with me with them is their starting pitching tends to be inconsistent. There's been, you know, many times where Greinke was in a good spot to pick up a win, and he just couldn't do it. He pulled Tony Romo. He's not the same like he was the last couple of seasons. That's why I don't see them being able to hang in there with the Dodgers or the Nationals. I really don't. I mean, anything can happen, you know, in the course of, you know, a 9-inning game. But I think the better matchup is going to be the Dodgers and the Nationals. That's the one I'm going to lock in with.
And definitely indeed, man. We shall see it. Yeah. We shall see with that when it comes to that. Let me ask you this. Let's jump to the NFL. What were your thoughts on the games yesterday? Not the Giants and Cowboys, but everything else. Any games that surprised you? Any games that you should check out? Or what's the deal?
The Redskins and Eagles, I was able to see that because they were on Fox. Because I'm not paying.
I saw that game, too. I saw the entire game.
I thought that was a really good game.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It turned out the way I expected it. I thought Washington's offense was inconsistent coming into the season, and I really wasn't feeling their defense much either. I think Philly's a more complete team. The Bills and the Jets was the other game I was able to flip back and forth to because they were on CBS. The Jets' defense, everybody wants to get on the Jets being horrible, but their defense looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing their thing. The offense, you know, that's a different story. The Rams game against the Colts, I think I told you to lock up Saturday that I was going to take the Rams over the Colts.
That was ugly. That was ugly, wasn't it?
that was disgusting.
Oh my God!
I didn't think it was going to be like that. I figured the Rams would win, but I didn't think they were going to win like that.
You got a new attitude, and then the head coach, and then got Wade Fields. It's like different kind of mix of coach and player relationship.
The surprising game to me is the Jacksonville game.
You're surprised at the outcome or that the fact that they won?
I'm shocked that they won the game. I didn't think they were going to pick
really
up the W.
It doesn't shock me, but it shocked me that they kind of front-led that game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got one of the top coaches, you know, that I consider of all time is Tom Coughlin down in their front office. If there's one person that's going to turn around an organization, it would be either him or Bill Belichick. And, you know, I love the head coach for Jacksonville. He is what they need down there, disciplinarian.
He had a role.
But, you know, I mean, Buffalo's, they're, I hate to say it, they're a joke. they're not as bad as the Jets, but they're still pretty bad.
They haven't really recovered since what, Polian, maybe, when he was running things, when they had the team in the early 90s, and they had a little success late in the 90s. And after that, they just kind of scramble, find themselves.
I mean, and, you know, Saturday I wore a jersey that I had made special. One of my friends got it for me. And it's my Scott Norwood, and the nameplate slanted to the right, you know. So I figured I would wear that because my friend's a Bills fan, and I just reminded him about, you know, things going bad, right?
Wow. did you see the Falcons-Bears game, and also what was the other game that I see? It was early. Raiders-Titans.
Raiders-Titans I didn't see. Falcons-Bears. I was kind of surprised that the Falcons had some trouble with the Bears at first for a little bit.
I
thought they were going to be able to just, you know, do whatever the hell they wanted. And it was just wasn't like I thought it was going to be.
Thought it was a survivor's pick nightmare, man. The Bears should have won that game. They had first and goal, second and goal, actually two times on two downs. Dropped, well, one was a deflection, should have caught, and another pass he just dropped. Bellamy in the end zone and Howard on one of the deflections. They should have beat them. That was kind of a surprise in itself. The Falcons did definitely struggle, man. The Bears played them tough. They played with a little bit of pride. But you know what? Let me say this. Do you think, not to go off on the tangent, I know I said talk all the other NFL stuff. Do you think somewhere after one game, I know Victor Cruz is, I'm not sure if he's signed again since leaving the Bears. I really don't know. You would think he's kind of laughing at what happened on last night. Do you think what happened? He's got to be like, damn, man. You know, all this talk about upgrade and that happened.
As far as Victor Cruz, I loved him. I met him a couple times, nice guy. But, you know, in all honesty, he only had really two or three good seasons with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
He got cut from the Bears for a reason. I don't think he can play anymore. I really don't. I know he's injured again, but I think it's time to move on from Victor Cruz. I really do. I know a lot of Giants agree with me with it, but it's kind of...
I think it's kind of personal that sometimes a player may look at it as business, but when you watch the team on the national stage and he really didn't get a touchdown out of the deal, I know somewhere inside he's probably like, wow, really? Really? And scapegoat me.
Oh, absolutely.
Other games, let's see. The Raiders-Titans game. That was actually a pretty good game. The Raiders, man, I think you said it on... You said it with the Raiders going out to win that game. Seahawks and Green Bay, I thought that was a good game too. Even though early on it was like a defensive war or whatever you want to call it. I thought the Packers got a real couple breaks. That there was a one, I think it was an interception return for a touchdown for the Seahawks, and the ref really had a bad call with a block in the back, and then the guy got kicked out of the game, and then there was a fumble by Russell Wilson. Deep in their own end, and the Packers turned it into a touchdown. I think that really helped get their offense going. And I thought Seattle caught a couple of bad breaks. And I think they're in a situation like us. Very good defense, suspect offensive line. I mean, it's almost damn near a carbon copy of each other. Although I think they may have a little bit more of a – it's arguable you could make a case for either or team. I think Seattle with the championship pedigree – from a couple years ago, and they have a lot of those guys intact. But there's a lot of similarities between, as far as talent-wise, Seattle and the Giants with the defense. But both issues come back to our respective offensive lines.
That's, you know, that's the thing that, you know, you can have all the talent in the world. You can have Barry Sanders as your running back. You can have Joe Montana as your quarterback. You know, you can have Michael Irvin. You can have Julio. You can have Odell. You know, if your offensive line is trash, you're not going to do anything. You're really not. It's not going to happen. And as much as I can't stand Dallas, Jerry Jones and his son did it right. They drafted, they focused on the offensive line. They drafted good guys. And here's what you get. They have an amazing offensive line. And I know there are some Giants fans complaining yesterday. You know, Eli sucks. You know, put in the backup quarterback, which is Geno.
That's crazy.
But you can't. Because you're not going to put your two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback on the bench.
No, not gonna happen. Not for Geno Smith.
No. And you're not gonna put another quarterback in who's gonna get the same results. It comes down to your offensive line, and Jerry Reese has missed the mark again. You know, we had Soibert, O'Hara, Deal, Snee, and McKenzie. Those guys
mm-hmm.
were getting old when they were with us. They never drafted behind them. And now you have the problem.
Remember, he tried to plug it with that the free agent signing with Jeff Schwartz at one point, and that didn't work out.
Yeah,
that was part of it.
No,
two.
That didn't work out either.
Correct.
Yeah, that was just that was horrible. And you know, the other thing is you had Larrell Collins sitting in the seventh round, untouched. Nobody was taking him. Then he never got drafted. You know, he's sitting there as a free agent. You think Jerry Reese would pick up the phone? Nope.
I think somebody mentioned that. One of the stakeholders mentioned that at that point, he only wanted to play for the Cowboys. Lyle Collins, at that point when he was undrafted, he had the off-the-field stuff going on. And I think that's the Giants were trying to be they want squeaky clean guys, kind of the same reason why they – avoided the linebacker in the first round, Reuben Foster. Laramie Tunsil the other year as well. They opted to go with Eli Apple. So there were linemen that probably came with some baggage, and the Giants decided to pass on them. Just like this year, I don't think there was linemen like that. There was a couple guys, but they opted to go with the tight end. So you kind of – with the war, with guys you already kind of know what they are, and we got exposed for what it was, offensively.
Yeah, but, you know, to me, there's no NFL player that's squeaky clean. I know the Giants' tradition is, you know, they don't want that problem player. But
unless he's a kicker.
Unless he's a kicker. I hate to say it, and I love the guy, and I got to, you know, drive him home from an autograph signing, but LT wasn't squeaky clean. Just saying.
There's exceptions to the rule for everything, though. He was beyond it.
Absolutely.
He was beyond. Yeah, talent. There's a crossroad between talent and baggage, and if your talent is extremely superior to your baggage, they'll give you a pass. You're like Hall of Fame great. They said, we'll work with you. That's just how it is
absolutely.
In any sport. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah,
but
man.
They need to rework the offensive line. At this point.
Brett Jones? Fluker? You see that? Any of those guys in the
middle? You got to get Fluker on the field. Maybe move John Jerry back to guard, get Bobby Hart off the field, and put Fluker at tackle. you can either, one, try that, or, two, start calling one of these teams that are in rebuilding mode and see what they would want for one of their tackles. Because I can tell you now, we got Detroit Monday night, who...
not going to be good.
Who isn't a walk in the park. And then we go to Philadelphia week three. You could be 0-3. You could
That's
be 1-3.
That's not good.
You know, and not only that, you're gonna be 0-2 in the division.
Not good
at all. That's hard to
come
back from.
Mm-hmm.
So
it sure is.
They need to get some continuity very quickly, or they need to make some type of trade or something.
I'm gonna be honest with you, and let me say this, and then I want to ask you something about what you got going on for the tailgate. Watching that Eagle Redskins game, especially the defensive line for the Eagles, I think they're going to destroy the Giants. If the Giants come to the game with the same attitude they did at Dallas, the Eagles, watching that Redskins game, they're going to destroy the Giants offense. I already said that in the summer. But this is
I
saw in game live action. Oh, this is bad.
I can tell you right now, there's one team in the division that absolutely scares me, and it's Philadelphia. It really is. It's Washington. I'm not concerned. Dallas, they're beatable. Philly, they got a very good defensive coordinator. I love Jim Schwartz, and Doug Peterson's a hell of a head coach. We can get blown out in Philly. If they don't get their shit together and get it together very quickly, it's gonna be a long year.
Yeah, sure will be. Real quick before we get off, anything
mm-hmm.
you're chefing up for the Monday night tailgate at the G-Spot? Let everybody know.
I'm definitely doing the specialty's probably going to be a shrimp dish. I'm either going to do garlic parm in olive oil, or I'm going to try this key lime shrimp that I've been playing around with. It'll be one of those two. I'm not sure which one yet. We're going to be hitting that up.
I bet. That sounds dang.
We went through the Giant Jet tailgate. We went through 4 pounds of shrimp. I couldn't keep it coming off the grill quick enough.
Gotcha.
What else? But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be fun Monday night. You know, it's gonna be the home opener. It'll be our New Year's party. DJ Chopper's gonna be there.
All right.
And DJ Chopper will be at the tailgate. We'll have our New Year's countdown, and have a good time.
That's what it's about.
Absolutely. Right. You know, win or lose, I'm still going to be there, still going to be repping blue. It's how we do.
That's how we do, man. I got to thank you for coming on and giving you your quick thoughts on MLB and NFL, and definitely let us know what's going on with the tailgate. So when we share this episode with the masses, definitely come check out the G-Spot as well. It's good to hear, get your thoughts, man. And then on the baseball and NFL as well.
I'm always happy to be on with you.
Oh, it's great. It's always great to have you on, man. Audio Archive episode, IT Podcast, and Public Interest Picture. Sangre Asu, Worm. We'll actually be on Thursday, actually. We'll reiterate that on Thursday when we talk about previous lines on Thursday around 7 p.m.
Sangre Asu. All right.
That's good, man. Lee Blue. All
right. Lee Blue, baby.
Yep.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.